going to continue in Luke, and now we're going to be jumping into chapter 9. I'll be reading out of the ESV this morning, and I ask you to stand for the reading of God's word. Luke chapter 9, we're going to read the first 9 verses. It reads this way. And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey, no staff, no bag, no more, nor money, nor bread. And do not have 2 tunics. And whatever house you enter, stay there. And from there depart. And whenever they do not receive you, when you leave that town, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was happening. And he was perplexed because it was said by some that John had been raised from the dead, by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that the one of the prophets of old had risen. Herod said, John I beheaded, but who is this about whom I hear such things? And he sought to see him. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we have heard the gospel, the good news, from those that you have sent. We are in the hearing of your word even this day, Lord. Move us from hearing and seeing to proclaiming and doing, Lord. Grow us in grace as instruments for your glory even this day. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The title of this morning's message is From Apprentices to Ambassadors. There comes a time in everyone's life where they have to show and prove. Just part of life. I personally love YouTube. I think YouTube is one of the greatest tools on the internet. But I'm not a person to waste time. I go to YouTube specifically to watch how-to videos, do-it-yourself videos. I have learned countless things from YouTube. I will watch 10 videos on a subject to learn how to do something. It is an invaluable tool to me. We learn a lot from careful observation. Observation without action is just daydreaming. If my wife wants a new cabinet, and I say, I'll build it for you, well, step one for me would be going to YouTube and watching 10 videos. After watching the videos, if I go back and tell her everything that I learned about cabinet making, she is going to say, that's nice, but where am I going to put my stuff? Observation is the seed. Action is the harvest. She wants a cabinet. To see clearly but never act is blindness of another kind. Like if you see something clearly but you never act, oh, you could see it, but that's a new kind of blindness. Jesus understood this. He did not call his disciples to be observers, but to be participants. Observation begins the lesson. Action completes it. What the eyes notice, the hands must practice. Hearing and seeing is important if it produces the desired result. Don't talk to me about the cabinet. I can't store my stuff and talk. Wisdom grows when what is seen shapes what is done. The one who only watches remains unchanged. The one who acts upon what he sees is transformed. And not only is he transformed, but he transforms others. I'm a plumber by trade, and don't call me. Get somebody else to fix your leak. I'm here like 7 days a week. I learned by walking alongside a master plumber. The first thing that I had to learn was, this is called a so-and-so. So when, there's no plumbing thing called so-and-so, but you know what I mean. So when they needed it, they'd say, Reggie, go get so-and-so. That's how we learn. A carpenter takes on an apprentice who watches, who listens, and imitates until the day comes when that apprentice is called to pick up the tools and begin work themselves. That is exactly what is happening here in Luke chapter 9. For at some time, the disciples had been with Jesus. What are they doing with him? They're watching him. They're watching him heal. They are hearing him teach. Not only others, but they're learning as well. They're seeing him cast out demons, and they're learning how the kingdom of God breaks into the world. But now, the time had come for them to step forward. They move from being learners and becoming laborers. They move from being learners to becoming laborers. They move from being apprentices to ambassadors. This is not just their story. Every believer is called to follow, every believer is called to learn, and then every believer is called to act. Apprenticeship leads to action. You can't be in a lifelong apprentice. First off, there's no money in that. You have to come to the place where you actually are doing, where your actions say, he is a carpenter. He is a plumber. This is a disciple of Christ. This is a Christian. In the end, you have to be able to build something. The 12 were sent out on mission. That's what chapter 9 is talking about. Jesus sent them out. Jesus himself spoke of him being a missionary. He said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom, for I was sent for that purpose. Jesus was sent, and now Jesus is sending. As he called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. Power is the ability to accomplish a task. That's what power is. Authority is the right to do it. So he gave them the ability to accomplish a task and the right to do it. Both of those things need to come from the Lord. This reminds us that discipleship is not only merely information transfer. You can't call yourself a disciple just because you come to church. Discipleship actually comes along with empowerment. That's why the believer has the Holy Spirit dwelling within him. Apprenticeship under Christ is not sitting in a classroom, it's not sitting in a pew forever, but being entrusted with the power that he gives for the mission. For us today, when Christ calls us to serve, he equips. God is going to give you what you need to accomplish what he's called you to. You know how we feel often when God calls us to a task? We feel inadequate. We feel as if we cannot accomplish what we've been called to. And thinking that way, you would be exactly right. When we are called to something from God, it's usually higher than our ability to perform that thing. But he's the one who empowers us. He's the one who's entrusting us with a mission like those disciples, and then he's giving the power and the authority to carry it out. When Christ calls us to serve, he equips. Our authority rests not on us, but on him, the one who sends us. We do not have the ability and the authority to do these things outside of Christ. You do not have the ability to cure diseases nor to fight demons. You don't. Acts chapter 19, to prove the point, in chapter 11, says, "And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hand of Paul." Like, sometimes we read something like that and we're like, oh, look what Paul did. No, that's not what it says. It says, and God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. This is crazy. So that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. That was God's power. He used Paul. But when people see that, they're like, oh, look what Paul can do. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits. You know what? I like that gift. I'm going to try it myself. Saying, I adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul proclaims, seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva. Seven sons of a Jewish high priest. So these were religious people. Remember, the sons of priests would become priests themselves. They were doing this. But the evil spirit answered them, Jesus, I know. And Paul, I recognize, but who are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them, which means beat them down, and overpowered them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded, no clothes on and bleeding. Because power and authority comes from God. The apostles' ability to be sent out to perform what God called them to do, to cast out demons, to heal, was a special gift to authenticate their ministry. What it did was It gave power to what they were saying. Remember what's happening here. They're going to Jewish people that believe that they have the corner on relationship with God. And now they are preaching of the kingdom that has come and saying that the gospel is for all, that Jesus is the Son of God, that this is the new kingdom come. People are going to be like, stone these people. The reason they didn't was because they were empowered by the Holy Spirit, because Jesus gave them the right to do it and the power to carry it out. So now, while they're doing these things, the words that are spoken are catching people's attention. It says, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God. The word preach describes a herald proclaiming a message from the king. Some people ask me, like, why do you wear, like, a suit jacket and stuff on most of the time when you preach? When the king sent out a herald, you know what they looked like? Like they came from the king's castle. It gave power to the position. This guy is speaking on behalf of the king. It's funny because when people run into me and I have like construction clothes on, fixing something, they're like, oh, you look so different. Like, different like uglier? Different like what do you mean? A herald proclaims the message of the king. The herald represents the king. H.B. Charles said this in his book on preaching. When the herald spoke, the people did well to listen and take heed. To ignore the herald's message was to reject the king's authority. And the herald was careful to proclaim the king's message with clarity and accuracy. To misrepresent the king's message was just as dangerous as rejecting it. So Jesus sending out the 12 to proclaim the kingdom of God with authority and with power was a big deal. Jesus tells them, take nothing for the journey. That's kind of like, what? Like, I was in the Boy Scouts. The Boy Scout motto is be prepared. Like, I'm always thinking, well, if something goes down or this or that, that's why I don't wear flip-flops. I said that before. Be prepared. When we got to get out of a place or set it off, flip-flopping around, take no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, take no extra shirt. Stay at the house that you enter and move on from those that refuse to hear. Why? Because this mission requires total dependence on God. You cannot accomplish anything for the kingdom outside of a move of God. You can't. Jesus' instructions for the journey was simple. Travel light. Keep your lodging basic. Live with the locals. And when people reject you, shake the dust off your feet. In this way, you are warning the city. But even that act was not something that they did with the wrong attitude. The same way that Jesus cried for Jerusalem is done with pain. He says, don't bring any extra equipment. Rely on the hospitality. Don't waste time with people that are unresponsive. Apprentices, disciples, must learn not only skill that they were picking up along the way as they're watching Jesus, but trust. They are to learn to rely not on provisions, but on the provider. That's very important. Like, it's not the bank account. It's I'm trusting in God. Even what our request was from earlier, that's a trust in God. God's got to move on behalf on the hearts of the people. I can tell you this, on why I don't worry about anything, nor should you. God's math is different than our math. This is a reminder that the mission of God is not fueled by human resources, but divine provision. For us, often serving Christ often means stepping out from where we feel unprepared or not having adequacy for the task or the resources that we need. That's precisely where God grows our faith. The disciples are told to go, proclaim the kingdom of God, heal the sick, and they went. That's the shift from training to action. This is where many Christians get stuck. We feel content to learn forever. We should be forever learners. But where people get stuck is they hesitate to act. We often think, I'll serve once I feel more equipped. I'll serve in the next season of life. I'll serve when my resources and my time changes. We all have the same amount of time in a day. Are there seasons of life? Absolutely. But if you already past the halfway point and you still are like, I'll serve eventually. You know what's gonna happen later? You're gonna get tired. Like, I don't have the energy I used to have. Stuff is gonna be hurting. You ain't gonna be able to drive at night. It's like, I should have served before. Now it's too late. Apprenticeship without practice is incomplete. Jesus doesn't train them so they can simply be observers forever. That's not why you come to church. He trains you in the word, in our services, as you read, as you pray, to be a participant in his kingdom. You know how many people when I worked in construction would say to me, because I was kind of vocal, I'm a Christian, I go to church, and I never would have known it. Not because they were doing anything wrong. No, they were doing the right things in terms of representing God where they weren't in conversations or speaking a certain way that they shouldn't. But you know what they didn't do? They didn't do the things that were right. You would not know that they were a Christian unless they came and told you that. Being a Christian is not only refraining from doing the wrong thing. It's being on mission for God in the workplace, in school, in your home, in your community, in your church, in your church, in your church. The disciples had become the hands and the voice of Christ in these villages. For us, faith matures not just through learning, but through obedience. And part of obedience is God sending you out. Action completes the training of discipleship. He called them not to bring all this extra equipment. He called them not to do what some of the others would do, philosophers and other religious people would go like house to house and it's like, well, you know, these accommodations over here are better than those accommodations, so thanks for the room, but I'm going over here to this bigger room. That's why he said, where you go, you stay. You be with the people because they had to depend on God's provision, the authority that they would be given, their needs would be supplied by him, and there is no personal gain sought. There is no personal gain sought. Herod heard about all of this that was happening. You can come up, worship team. And it just shows how Jesus and his disciples were making a ripple effect that even the palace had to say, what is going on? The mission of the disciples and Jesus, it stirred his curiosity. Sometimes it stirs curiosity. Sometimes it brings about opposition, and sometimes God uses that for people to be saved. Their obedience created all of that. Discipleship is stepping into action will always cause a response, always. But how people respond to it is in God's hands, not ours. Our witness today still raises questions. People may want to ask, where does this boldness come from? Why are you living this way? How are you doing what you're doing? In other words, they see power being displayed and they're wondering how that's taking place. It's God. This was a turning point for the disciples. They went from being called, from tax booths, from fishing boats, from regular walks of life. And they walk with Jesus. And he taught them. And they walk close to him. And they learned of him. You see, you have to be up close if you're really going to be a follower of Jesus. The crowds, even Herod, was intrigued from a distance, but there was no way that they were going to learn what it meant to be one of Jesus' followers from a distance. And as we follow Christ, he's going to continually push us out of our comfort zone. He's going to tell us to go. He's going to give authority. Not in our own strength. It's going to be his strength. He's going to require dependence. We must learn to fully trust God. Imagine they got a mixed results depending on what household they went into, what town they went into. Some were like, get out of here. That had to be disheartening. Sometimes we witness to people and they don't respond the way we would like. Pray for them. You should not feel like I've done something wrong. The results are not in your hands. They're in God's hands. But he sent you. He gave you authority. which means the right to do it, because you're filled with the Holy Spirit, because you're a new creation, because you have been redeemed, because you have been reconciled and given the ministry of reconciliation. Jesus gives authority, Jesus requires dependence, and Jesus expects action. He expects action. Discipleship is never just a theory. No, it's lived out. Jesus uses our obedience to stir the world. The kingdom advances through mine and yours faithful witness. So the question is, where is Jesus calling you to move from learning to action? If you've been an apprentice under his word, filled with his Spirit in his church, now he says, go, speak, serve, proclaim the kingdom. If you feel like I'm stuck in observation mode, you know what obedience looks like? One step at a time. One step at a time. We get a place one step at a time. This is not, I'm quitting my job, I'm getting some flip-flops, I'm wearing a robe, and I'm carrying a sign. God made you who you are. He's also, if you're his child, filled you with the Holy Spirit. He put you in a Bible-believing church for our training, for our edification, for our correction, for our growth. And then he says, go. If you feel inadequate, remember, it is his authority. It is his power that he's equipping you with. If you feel anxious about provision, just like them, trust that he is going to provide for the ones that he sends. Your obedience is not going to always get the results that you desire. But those results are in his hands. He's the only one who could break up the fallow ground in a heart. He is the one who takes stony hearts and gives hearts of flesh. Discipleship is apprenticeship. Apprenticeship leads to action, and action advances the kingdom of God. This is where discipleship becomes real. It's not just Sunday morning worship. It's what you're going to do tomorrow, wherever you find yourself. Would you stand, family, so I could pray for you? Father, in the same way that you called those 12 from tax booths, from fishing boats, not from seminaries, not from the synagogue, ordinary working people, to turn the world upside down because God's kingdom through those would be realized. And the full consummation of that is still to come. But we are sitting here today because of those you called, those you sent, those that you gave power and authority to, and you're still doing that in your church today. In the midst of crowds, you had disciples, Lord. We don't want to be part of the crowd. We want to be your disciples that you send. In the same way that this chapter showed the new way God would use his church to go out and change the world, empowered by him, would you do that for us, Lord? Would you help us to see that Paul had no power to give a handkerchief power? You empowered Paul. You empowered these 12. You empower your church. You, Christ, are the head of your church. The Holy Spirit dwells in the midst of his people, fills his people. We are the temple of the Lord. And as we go out to dark places, when we get there, light, life appears because we reflect your glory as your children. Lord, remind us of that. Tomorrow and the next day. We thank you, Lord, that this is just the beginning. We thank you, Lord, that that good work that you started in us, you're bringing it to completion. We thank you, Lord, that the word does something in us, that our gatherings teach us, prune us, equip us to go. Send us, Lord. Help us to remember it's in your power. You're going to provide. You're the one who opens the doors. You're responsible for the results. And we are instruments in your hand. We thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you that you used other people to bring the gospel message to us. And here we stand. So now send us, empowered by your Spirit, equipped with your word, sent on your mission. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, family.